Good evening, Derek, mm-hmm. from the Eternal City, from Rome.
Sounds like the Eurovision Song Contest column.
12 points, Duspa. I'm standing here, would you believe, in a street that's around 10 minutes from the Vatican, 10 minutes from where I live. It's called Via Julius Caesar. And I'm with a man who's normally with you.
Yes.
Niall Hatch.
Hello, Niall.
He's standing here with me.
Hi, Colin.
Niall, I have a question for you.
Certainly.
And you're the man who can answer. Every evening when I'm walking home, I hear this beautiful bird song above my head. I have no idea who are these birds, where they're native to, but all I know is I hear them every night. What can you tell me about them?
Be hard not to hear them here. They're so raucous, aren't they? They're parrots, or parakeets, a small type of parrot. There's actually two species here in Rome. The main one we're hearing now, that really raucous call, that's the ring-necked parakeet, sometimes called the rose-ringed parakeet, and that's native to parts of Asia and Africa. There's also another species here from South America called the monk parakeet, very appropriately around the Vatican, that kind of region, they seem to really love urban spaces within Europe. It's just perfect for them.
Is there any reason that they're particularly loud at this time of the day?
Yeah, well, we're just around 5 p.m. now, aren't we? So it's getting dark, and this is when they're going into roost to sleep for the evening. They've been out feeding around the suburbs of Rome, in the gardens and in the parks throughout the day. They gather together in big numbers. It's safety numbers in the evening, you see, and they're calling like this to gather everyone together. They're saying, time to go to bed, guys, over here, we're all off to this park tonight.
So that's what it is. It's kind of the end of the day, work day is finished, bedtime.
That's exactly it. And then tomorrow morning they'll go their separate ways and little family parties maybe, and then they'll return back in. And we're also getting quite close to the nesting season, because it's early November now. They nest in January, which is much earlier than most birds in the year. So they're winter nesters. It's probably because of their tropical origins, where there aren't such a clear-cut definition between the seasons. And so they're actually getting in towards breeding mode now as well. It's sort of a little bit more raucous. The males are kind of squaring up to each other, getting a bit more territorial too. So they're jockeying for position within those flocks, trying to impress the lady parakeets.
Right.
Yeah.
So the romance, that's amore.
Yeah.
And tell me, where are they native to? Where are they from?
So the main species here, the rose-ringed parakeet or the ring-necked parakeet, they're found mainly in the Indian subcontinent, that part of Asia. Small populations in certain areas of Africa as well. The reason why they can do so well in Europe, because we're starting to see them now in Dublin as well, and a couple of ports in Cork, it's because where they live, they tend to have quite cold winters. We think of parrots as being from very warm places, but actually these two species, so the ring-necked parakeet from Asia, and then also the monk parakeet from the southern part of South America, they have cold winters just like in Europe. So these birds, almost uniquely among parrots, have evolved to not need warm climate. They have thicker feathers, and that means when they're in an area where they have lots of food, such as urban spaces where there's lots of litter on the streets, and I mean, Rome is fairly clean, but some areas you do see food discarded, and they go through the bins, or they'll go into the park, or people will deliberately feed them. And then also, there's fewer predators here as well, so they're a lot safer than they would be. There are not so many birds of prey trying to catch them and eat them. So they tend to thrive, and sometimes if the numbers go unchecked, as they would with no predators around here, you have flocks then of thousands, and then they unfortunately can become a bit of a nuisance. They'll evict some of the native species from their nest holes. They'll descend en masse on all the fruit trees and eat all the food. There's nothing left for the other birds, or indeed for the humans. So people tend to like them to begin with. They think this beautiful add a splash of colour, but then after a while people start to go a bit sour on them because of the noise and the mess.
And how do you keep that in check?
Well, I think in Rome, as is in the case in places like London and Amsterdam and Brussels and Madrid and Nice and Barcelona, I think that ship has sailed. I think it's too late. I think they're already rampant there and they're very widespread. They'll just have to live with them there as they are, and they'll just have to find their natural place. In Ireland, we still are at a situation where it could be stopped, and nobody's suggesting they need to be harmed. The population in Dublin is still so small. Those birds could be individually captured. They do very well in captivity. The originators of the population would have come from captivity originally anyway. They got to Ireland, as they did here in Italy, by escaping from captivity. They're not really spreading around Europe. It's all, you know, escapes. And they do better in captivity than in the wild. They have a longer lifespan. So we still have a chance in Ireland to nip this in the bud. No harm to the parakeets, no harm to the humans. It just needs the political will to do it. And it just doesn't seem to be happening at the moment. In the future, give it 10, 20 years, people might be really regretting that more wasn't done to try and nip it in the bud.
So we could be having the same problem in Ireland that they're having here in Rome and in other cities in Europe.
Yes, and of course with climate change we're seeing milder winters, so it's getting quite hot in the summers in Italy. In Ireland, actually, the climate could end up in a few years being precisely what these birds need, and they could actually then thrive, and Ireland could be, you know, the Emerald Isle, but because of the parakeets, not the leaves.
You said that one was a ringneck. mm-hmm. and one was a monk. What's the difference? Is one got a habit on, a religious monk?
Little shaved head yeah. on top, yeah. No, so the ringneck parakeet, it has a black ring around the neck. It's particularly prominent on the male. So they're mostly solid green. To people listening to us, they're about the size and shape of a magpie with a big long tail, a bit more pointed than a magpie, but bright green overall. But the male has this very nice black ring, almost like an ink line around the neck. So that's how you can tell those. Then the monk parakeet, they're green overall as well, but they have a greyish head, and they often tend to associate with pigeons. They would be, so it's a common bird on the streets of Buenos Aires, for example. You see them with pigeons there. They thrive in an urban environment. And the two species, although in the wild in their native ranges, they would never have met each other. They're from completely different parts of the planet. They actually coexist beautifully here in Rome.
It's amazing to think, coming in as pets, as parrots, and then you hear this cacophony above our heads, how many there are today. And I must ask you, Niall, you mentioned some of the drawbacks and some of the things that can go wrong if the population gets out of control. Are there any positives? Is there anything they bring with them?
Well, they're certainly beautiful birds. Yeah. There's no denying. When you see them up close, they do add a splash of colour to people's lives. They, you know, they're maybe not the most beautiful sounding of birds. It's an interesting sound, a very exotic sound. And, you know, at a time when nature is being depleted, well, they do maybe bring people more to an appreciation of the beauty of birds. That's maybe the main benefit.